Okay, we are talking about the gospel today. The gospel. And so when you think gospel, you think grace, you think all kinds of stuff. You think heaven, you think hell, you think Jesus, you think crucifix, you think tomb. We think all kinds of stuff, right? And it means a lot of things. But I want to look at today one of the main things that I think makes it good news. Are you with me? Makes it good news. In John chapter 17, this is the Passion Translation. By the way, half of what I'm going to talk about tonight, you don't have because I kind of flipped it a little bit. So I'm sorry, I just tend to do that. They have Bibles, they'll be okay, you know. So John 17, 26, it says, I have given them the revelation of who you are. This is powerful. Why is it good news? Why did Jesus come? What was Jesus' main emphasis? What was the whole point, ultimately? I have given them the revelation of who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. This is the Passion Translation, John 17. Get it on Amazon.com. I will continue to make you even more real to them, and we know that He does that through the Holy Spirit, who knows the heart of God, who knows the thoughts of God. And He comes and He reveals the nature of what God is like, both in a whisper and in an emotion and in an experience, in a circumstance, etc. He goes on to say, I will continue to make you more real to them. So there's a process there. He says, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. Wowie. Jesus did what Jesus did because Jesus experienced perfect love as a way of life. Jesus lived the way Jesus lived because Jesus experienced perfect love as a way of life. Perfect love is extravagant. Perfect love is otherworldly. Perfect love is literally, how can I say, if you think that you are receiving love well, you still got a ways to go. That's how perfect the love is. How generous are you at receiving this love that you can't earn? That's the question. How generous are you with yourself at receiving this extravagant love that you cannot earn? Because therein lies true faith. Does that make sense? So He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to make you more and more real to them so that they can experience what I experience, which is this extravagant, perfect love. Why? So that all fear can be cast out. Because we know that perfect love casts out all fear, and those who struggle with fear have not been perfected in love. Perfect could be mature. Mature in your understanding, mature in your expression, mature if you face uncertainty, you know how to navigate it well in self-control. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So He's saying, man, God has to become more and more and more and more and more real to you. Because unless God becomes more and more and more real, tangible, authentic, experiential, the word to know Him, the word know is gnosis. It has to do with a personal experience. Jesus is saying, unless God becomes more and more real to you, you will never experience this perfect love. You know, in John 5, Jesus does this amazing miracle and people are freaking out. And I love how He speaks about Himself. He's like, the Father loves the Son and He'll show Him even better things than this. I just think that's so amazing. The Father loves the Son. He wakes up every morning. He's like, yep, the Father loves me. In whom I'm well pleased. You know, we always talk about how Father's pleased with Him before He did anything. But He wakes up and he walks around knowing the Father, man, this guy just can't leave me alone. He's just like mad over me. So that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them. Wow. Even as I live in them. For your love will now live in them. Even as I live in them. The title of my message is Love Comes from God. Not from you, not from me, not from your car, not from your house, not from your children, not from your spouse. It looks like love. It's a form of love, but it's not perfect. Does that make sense? So what happens is that here's the whole point that I'm trying to make today, is that God, the whole good news, the point of it, in my opinion, amongst other things, which I don't think is as important, especially if we don't get this thing, because if you don't have love, you have nothing. It doesn't matter how big your bank account is, how big your church is, how big your car is. It doesn't matter any of those things. If you don't have love, you have zilch. Nada. But the point that I'm trying to make, hey guys, here's the gospel, here's good news. God the Father is eternally committed to reveal His perfect love to you in spite of you. Good news. Shalom. Goodbye. See you next week. Adios. But you must now understand the backdrop of the context. He's coming to people who were taught their whole lives that the number one commandment was what? Talk to him. It's not a trick question. Was to love the Lord. You come to Jesus in Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answers and says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So here you have a culture. The law existed for over 1,300 years. We know that the law was the ministry of death. It was the ministry of condemnation. In other words, that's like me saying to you, you are not yet perfect. Go and perfect yourself and come back to me when you're perfect. You'll say, okay, I wake up at 4 every morning, I'll work out, I'll only eat vegetables, I'll drink smoothies, I will, I'll treat my wife kindly and 100% of the time, I won't be naughty, da-da-da-da-da. We have the rules and the regulations. But then you skip one beat, and what happens? Shame. Condemnation. Because the law of sin is death. So what begins to happen now is these people in this context, they are under this thing where the old covenant says it's about them going to perfect themselves. So their whole life is about, I hope I'm being very pleasing to God because I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if this thing is out of whack in my life, I'm not loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if that thing is out of whack in my life, I'm not loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if he doesn't like me or she doesn't like me, or if this circumstance doesn't line up, then I'm not loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So what do I have to do? Try harder. And then we go through that same motion, and what begins to happen is you see it. It's called the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. Outbursts of anger. Jealousy. All kinds of naughty stuff on that list. That is directly connected to self-righteousness and self-dependence. Are you tracking with me? The way to overcome sin and death is to extravagantly receive a love, a type of love that is otherworldly. It's to receive a kind of love that you are okay with not being able to earn. That's the point of faith. We won't let ourselves receive the love because deep, deep down inside we still think that we have to earn it. God made sure that no one can boast, that no one can take credit. Because he knows that if you take credit, you owe credit. That's how credit works, with interest. This is the scandal of the gospel. This is why it was so easy for Jesus to do miracles. I'm convinced with all my heart. He understood grace. He understood perfect love. He lived from a place of rest. He was so full of himself in the right way. And he just said, stretch out your hand, be healed. Because he was 100% convinced that the Father loved him. And that if you can't believe that you have power and authority over sickness, over disease, over anxiety and all that stuff, if you don't believe God loves you. So now the first thing we have to do is not chase after miracle signs and wonders. The first thing we have to do is get to know the love of God. Because he says, unless you abide in me, you will not bear much fruit. In John 15, read it. It's powerful. He says, abide in me, remain in me. In what? Verse 9 tells us his love. He comes in the context again. They've been abiding in their own love, their limited love, their agenda-driven love. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There's no love. And so you see the verse, he drops it on them. He says, this is the main verse. And they all pursue that. They pass it down generation to generation. You must love God. There's something off in your life. You need to love God. Now we fast forward, and nowhere in the new covenant do you see that same commandment. In fact, you see him come on the scene. He says, I give you a new commandment. What's the new commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. What happened to the love the Lord your God part? See, Jesus was talking to people who didn't really want to keep the commandment that they were asking about. They were just being religiously clever. That's why you see John, the same writer of John 14, 15, abide in his love. The same writer in 1 John 4, it's the same dude. He says, for this is real life, a real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son. See, love looks like something. For we have come to know and rely on God's love for us. This is in the Bible. I'm actually quoting scripture. This is the same John that was taught his whole life. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you don't believe me, let me just hammer it home with like four more verses. Romans 13:10. Love does no wrong to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The entire law is fulfilled in the single decree, Galatians 5. Oops. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where's the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? There's more verses. I just don't want to take the time to do that. Going back to how we started this thing, John 17. I've given them the revelation of who you are. In other words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not God. Then he goes on to say, I'm committed to reveal to them more and more and more what you really like. Why? So that they can experience this love that casts out all fear. I love that it says, for your love will now live in them. God is love, right? And so here's the problem. Man, religion is so tricky. It makes you... Like, if you're not feeling something, it makes you feel bad for not feeling what you think you're supposed to feel. Does that make sense? Like, if you're not feeling God, you feel bad for not feeling God because in your mind you think you're supposed to feel God. Or let me put it like this. In your mind, you think that if you don't feel God, that there's something wrong with you. You notice how all the attention's on you and not on God. But then what religion does is when you're so full of Jesus and you develop such an awareness of him, it tries to come and make you feel bad for feeling good all the time when most of the people around you don't. Then it tells you to take that lamp that we talked about, that God lit, put it on the lampstand, and then it tells you to put that lamp under the lampstand. Because clearly you're crazy. Not everybody, most people are not like that, so there's something wrong with you. You laugh, but it's true. I don't know what this has to do with the message, actually. Where was I going with that? That was just really good. God is eternally committed to revealing his perfect love to you and to me. In my opinion, everything else is irrelevant if this is not the main thing. Everything else is a distraction. Everything we think we know, everything we think we want to do, everything that we think will give us what we think we need, if we are not maturing in the love of God, which looks like something, we're distracted. Wow, I can't imagine the people in Romans 5, he says, he talks about, and this hope does not disappoint, because hope produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And it goes on to say how he has poured out his love into our hearts. Isn't that interesting? Think about it. New covenant context. Old covenant context. There was no love poured in their hearts. Here's the good news. God's love is poured out in you, meaning you can't escape it. You can escape it here, but you really can't escape it. It's been poured out in you. You know the term, the Lord, he said to me this afternoon, I'm in love with you. I was like, yeah, I know. And it's like, no, I'm in love with you. Think about it. I was like, I'm in love with you. So I like to say things like five times, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. This is meditation. I'm in love with you. And then boom, it clicks. And think about it. In love, it speaks of oneness. I'm in love with you. Like I'm in love. I'm one with you in love. It's us who runs, not him. It's us who he waits on, not the other way around. The father stands and he waits for the prodigals to come home every day. The only time in scripture I heard somebody say this, you see him running, is towards the prodigal. Where are you at, percentage of 1 to 10? Where are you at in terms of extravagantly receiving a kind of love that is otherworldly in your thoughts, your words, and your actions? Because unless this looks like something, it cannot be actualized. For something to mature, for fruit to grow, it needs water, it needs sunlight. So guess what? When fear comes now, that's a weird version of sunlight for me. When intimidation comes, that's a weird version of it reminds me of love. Instead of what it used to do was surprise me, as if I was never supposed to feel fear, or as if I was never supposed to feel anxiety, or as if I was never supposed to feel the things that comes with fear and death. But you get to a place of maturing in the love of God, like Justin was saying, it's a raw trust. And that's what Jesus lived in. You don't think that Jesus had to choose love? Do you know what I mean? Like, we think he just woke up and every day they were just like birds singing his name. That everything was always peachy. I mean, look at the guy's experience with the disciples. He was pulling his hair out half the time with them. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh my God, how much longer must I be with these guys? Jesus had to choose love. Okay, let me break this down even more. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Love is joy. Love is peace. Love is meek. So now, what does it look like to love yourself with the love of God? Well, are you patient with yourself? Are you kind towards yourself? Are you gentle towards yourself? Are you long-suffering with yourself? Do you believe the best in yourself? How kind are you? How do you speak to yourself? You cannot... Speaking to yourself, how can I say this? If you're not speaking to yourself the way God speaks about you or what God says about you, you are on a slow train to death. I pray that they would grow in this every day. This is powerful. You know, it seems so cliche because we throw the love word around like it's nobody's business. I love you. See you later. You know, I love chicken, you know. I love that new show. And we do. But the writer in Ephesians says that it talks about the height, the depth, the width, the length, the breadth of this love. Fascinating thing to me is it says if we still struggle with fear, it's because we have not been perfected in love. As to say, you don't have to struggle with fear. If you learn how to become perfected in love. Did you hear what I just said? So why would you study anything else in scripture if you still struggle with fear? Why would we run to any other conference that does not talking about the thing that's going to help us with fear? For real, think about it. Like, study the scriptures. Open it up. Study. You have so much resources online. What does love mean? What does it look like? How does it work? I have a verse for you that I think is so cool for us to hold on. Because, yes, we co-labor with God. Yeah, God, use me. I want to do great and mighty things. It's a good prayer. Use me, God. It's awesome. But what if I told you that co-laboring with God starts with you first? In other words, your partnership, your co-laboring with God starts with you coming into agreement with God. Your mind, your words, your actions. That's where real partnership with God starts. Every single day. I love 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, now about brotherly love. You do not need anyone to write to you because you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. You yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Goes back to John 17 where he says, and I will reveal you to them more and more. They will grow in this love more and more. So in one sense, put in the time. I have to work at loving my wife well. I have to work at loving you well. I have to put in the time. But as I position myself to do that, it's actually him that's teaching me. He teaches me what emotions are not godly. He teaches me what thoughts and how to, cast them down. He gives me emotional intelligence to discern the voices. He's teaching me. And he wants to teach us. He taught Jesus. This is how you love. Well, what does it mean to be kind to myself? Let him teach you. But in order for that to happen, you need an opposing reality. In order for you to really, really experience the love of God, you need something to come in that opposite so that you can, do you know what I'm trying to say? So that you can truly feel and experience. In other words, you don't really trust God unless you go through something from time to time and you still come out on top from the inside out. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. So if you're going through something, it's because you still have hope. Who hopes for what he sees? If you don't see it yet, it's because you still have hope. That's why you're going through it. You're not crazy. It's because you actually believe. Unlike most Christians. I hate to sound like I'm bashing the body of Christ. But it's time to stop waiting for a God that came 2,000 years ago and that lives on the inside of me. Like he came 2,000 years ago. What are we waiting for? Come, Jesus. Guys, I came a long time ago. I poured my love out in your hearts. Love. Do you know how magnetic this kind of love is? Do you know that it gets to a point where it's abnormal for you not to extend kindness to the bagger, kindness to the owner? It's abnormal. It's almost like it's food when you say, how was your day? She's like, what the heck? Why do you care about my day? We went for a walk and there's this two kids, man, like walking in front of us and on Saturday. And I had this word for him. And anyway, long story short, fear almost won that one. And it has a couple, and it will at times. But the thing continues. And anyway, I turned it on because of love. And I gave him this word, and it was legit. And he just stared. And then I walk away dreaming about what does it look like if all of us continue to cultivate love. Because love looks like something, right? But this love is in you. So the next time you feel discouraged, the next time you feel like God's distant or you feel depressed, first start with, here's the good news. The good news is that I will not leave you or forsake you. The good news is that I've already poured my love out on the inside of you. That's the scandal of the gospel. The scandal to a generation of people who for generations upon generations insisted on self-righteousness and loving God. I will love God. Remember when I first got saved, God, I promised to love you 24/7, man. And it's like something of a pride if you say, I love God, you know. But the point is that love does not come from you or me. If love does not come from me, then why am I surprised when I don't feel love? Instead of being so surprised, I become encouraged. Why? Because I don't have to look far. Because love has been poured out in my heart. Come on. God loves me. Now I can love you whether you love me back or not. Because your reaction or your response to me or your acceptance to me does not fill up this tank, baby. I got some of that heavenly octane in this bad boy. I'm not waiting for you to greet me back or hug me back or give me your wink or whatever the case may be so that I can feel better about myself. No. I feel great about myself because my dad feels great about me. I can't feel great about you if I don't feel great about me. If you're struggling with this love, extravagantly receiving it, and you still think you're loving people, you're not loving people. It's not love. It's a type of love that has conditions. It's imperfect. And imperfect love will breed perfect fear. Imperfect love will breed perfect fear. Man, that was a good one. I just heard the sound of pens just hitting paper. I'm going to keep that one. Coin that one. Kevin, I love you. I know you do. Breeds perfect fear. Fear basically just means feelings of inadequacy. Feelings of not enough. Fear in this context is not like, I'm scared. That's also a type of fear. But when the Bible talks about the spirit of fear is, in and of itself, its nature is, it feels unworthy. It feels like it's lacking something. It feels like it's not enough. That's what the spirit of fear feels. So it projects itself onto you. This is where we go a little deeper in Christian theology and we start talking about all this cool stuff. But that's where, you know, I believe prayer half the time is without even saying anything. Prayer half the time was, that's what you feel like. That's what you smell like. That's what you look like. Oh my gosh. That's what you like. Anything that opposes that, whoosh, chop its head off. But guys, I'm just like so concerned that we're still waiting for God who came 2,000 years ago. Oh my good Lord, where did the time go? So God will teach us how to love others. Be patient with yourself. You have more than enough patience for yourself because it comes from God. Kindness comes from God. Gentleness comes from God. Meekness comes from God. Everywhere, if I go places, I don't feel like loving this person. I don't feel like saying, hello, how was your day? And I don't. I just don't feel like it. See, I know he still loves me. Even if I don't, I'm just being honest in the moment. But that's not my norm. I don't live like that because that's not healthy. There's just times I just don't feel like saying hi, giving hugs or high fives. I've just had a long day. I'm not going to be fake. That's the point of freedom. Jesus came so I could be free. Not get stuck, but be free. It's true. Freedom starts with being honest. Wow, that's so amazing. Freedom starts with being honest, but it's not about being stuck. Or you meet some people and they're just like rude. And then they say, I'm honest. I call it how it is. No, dude, you're rude, man. You're rude, buddy. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So if I'm there and I'll say, I'm not feeling this right now. Then you'll say, well, I've got some for you if you need it. And sometimes I'll say, no, I'm good. I'm going home. I'm hungry. But most of the times, that's part of me maturing in this love. And in so doing, casting out any subconscious sense of inadequacy, which limits me from loving you well. See, when I don't love you well, it's like it emits stuff into this unseen realm. It's like it's saying something. It's like an invitation. Does that make sense? When you don't love well, it's like you're saying to somebody, when you don't love well, subconsciously you're saying to yourself, this is who I am and this is what I'm like. That's your paradigm now. This is deep. I know it's deep, but stay with me. God's love has been poured into your heart and my heart. Number one. Number two, God is committed. He's committed to revealing perfect love to us. And number three, God is asking us if we would be willing to wake up every morning and receive extravagant love that we cannot earn. And again, how we receive that starts with your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Until all three of them are in agreement. I can actually say your emotions too. right? Your thoughts, which influence your feelings, your words, and your actions. Next thing you know, you are love. Literally. Because if you don't have love, guys, you have nothing. And I think that's how we're going to end today. Does anybody need prayer? If you could just put up your hands if you need prayer. Can I pray, people? Could you guys come up for prayer? Here's the deal. As they're coming up, some homework for this week. The first thing is, don't be surprised when you feel fear, because here's what it loves to do. When you feel fear, you feel anxiety, or whatever the case may be, it wants you to think that nothing's working. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? It wants you to, it wants to negate this experience that you had, or it wants to negate the process you've made. Does that make sense? So the first thing is, don't be surprised. He said, be anxious for nothing. He didn't say you'll never feel anxious. That's a big difference. And that's the tipping point of beginning this maturation process. And as you do, there's suddenlies, there's supernatural intervention. You literally catch yourself like, man, this is so much easier, like to handle this situation or handle that situation. Does that make sense? Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you so much because you first loved us. Would you make this subject fresh again? The bigger subject of all, love. This is good news. This is the gospel, people. God loves us. I pray, Lord, we just, that 1 Thessalonians scripture, where you said you would come and you would teach us how to love. You would teach us the rhythms of love and how to overcome fear and all this stuff. And so we just rest in you, Holy Spirit. I bless every person in this room, and I pray that as they sleep tonight, they would have dreams that would be life-changing, that they would be that they would wake up filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that this week we would all just be so filled. Not that we're not, but that we would become so aware of the power and the presence of God on the inside of us in such a fresh way. So we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.